This is the Hidden Killers Podcast with Tony Bruschi.
With former prosecutor and guest Lori Gilbertson.
Let's take a look at some of the closing here. And this is the prosecutor talking about, you know, of course, everyone has to be in on this conspiracy theory. And it must make total sense in the mind of Mr. Tellis. Let's take a look at this here.
And here's the thing that struck me when I took over this case. I would submit to most people, probably before ever hearing about this case, had no idea what a public administrator was. He is not a U.S. senator. He is not a governor. He is not a congressperson. He is a duly elected official who manages an office of approximately 8 people. And their job is to assist people who pass away, who don't leave a will and leave property behind. The public administrator's office is not at the forefront of everyone's mind in this community. No one learns about this until who brings the office to light? Jeff Gehrman. And what's amazing is if you believe that story about this conspiracy, all of these people and all of these entities were willing to sacrifice their reputation, their business, their police department, even the public administrator's office. They're all willing to put it on the line to kill a reporter, to get that guy, even though he's leaving in 3 months. Does that make a shred of sense? Absolutely not. But what it does give you a window into is what's in his mind. That is how important Mr. Tellis views himself. That every single one of these people, every single one of these entities were literally willing to kill another human being who is not him, just to frame him.
I thought he laid it out pretty well for the jury to understand. And Tellis is facial expressions, I think, just say so much about his character.
Yeah.
And being a narcissist. I mean, that's got to be another weird one sometimes to deal with, or probably somewhat common when you're dealing with individuals like this who believe they can do absolutely no wrong.
Yeah, it is unfortunately very common. Mm-hmm. And, you know, his facial expressions, the kind of nodding that he was doing or a little shaking of mm-hmm. his head, that says something to the jury, too. Mm-hmm. You know, every single thing that he's doing, he is speaking without speaking. It's not just the narrative he gave on the stand. So attorneys, defense attorneys will certainly instruct their clients not to react. Mm-hmm. Right? Just don't react. But, you know, with a client like this, I think that would have been really difficult. I agree with you that the prosecutor laid it out pretty well. I was wondering kind of where he was going, and then he got there. Mm-hmm. And, you know, conspiracies, you watch TV, people watch TV, you watch movies, you're like, oh, conspiracies everywhere. Everyone's going to, you know, frame this guy. The prosecutor did exactly the right thing in laying out what has to happen for this actual conspiracy and framing how many people have to be involved, how they have to collaborate and coordinate, what their motivation and intent has to be, and how they pull it off. And when you lay it out that way for the jury, I, based on that and the defendant's testimony and the evidence they had, you know, a guilty verdict is not at all surprising in this case.
No, I mean, and I know there's no such thing as an open and shut case. This one, it really felt like it. I was surprised it took the jury 2 days to come to their verdict. And then they, after they found him guilty, the sentence was fairly light as well. 20 years, well, life in prison, but probation at about 20 years, he's eligible for it, which obviously doesn't mean he's going to get it. But it seemed the jury was hung up on the hair, because the man, obviously, Tellis here, who did the murder, he's wearing this borderline like Halloween costume, the giant hat, the blaze orange shirt, his signature cheap Nikes, and there was hair. And it seemed, what I've heard from some of the jurors, or indirectly from some of the jurors, that they were hung up on the hair. Obviously, it's a jury of your peers, but are this doesn't seem like a far stretch. If he's already getting in costume to put on a wig, are we getting to a place where, you know, juries are we're not getting the brightest and the best anymore. where it takes it to this level of we're stuck on a wig.
Yeah, you know, jury. The thought process of juries is really interesting. Mm-hmm. And there are a lot of people who study that and a lot of psychologists who study it. And as a prosecutor, one of the most interesting things I found was when I got to talk to juries afterwards mm-hmm. and hear what their process was, because that helps you as an attorney to know what to focus on and what not to focus on. And you never know with people's life experiences they bring into this mm-hmm. where they're going to go.
Sure.
You just don't. And it can be so incredibly surprising. The prosecutor in this case really laid it out for them. And often juries will just go and they follow the blueprint. And the idea as any attorney in front of a jury is you want to give them what they need so they can go back and be your advocate for your side of the case. And the prosecutor here did that. The best and the brightest, I can't say
yeah,
that,
you yeah,
know,
sure.
there was always a joke going around that, you know, it's the 12 people who couldn't get themselves out of jury duty.
Yes.
That happens. but you know, I was speaking to some attorneys at a function last weekend who were telling me, you know, partners at law firms who actually got on juries and thought it was the most interesting and fascinating experience, and they took it so seriously. Mm-hmm. I have jury duty coming up in October here in Colorado. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure I'll get picked. I think it would be an amazing window into this. Mm-hmm. You know, you just never know. You
yeah.
really don't. You know, if you could be a fly on the wall for these secret deliberations,
yeah.
It would be incredible. And that is one thing I gave up guessing about. Long,
yeah.
long time ago, although it's fun to speculate.
Well, yeah, I mean, you talk to anybody, go to a restaurant and bring up, you're going to hear totally different opinions on everything. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it feels that a lot of people aren't necessarily living in reality or their own version of reality, and it's all through their prism.
Yes.
I do wonder, mm-hmm. you know, if some people had some empathy here for Tellis, even though his story made no sense, he came mm-hmm. across as a raging narcissist. But it makes me wonder, because I feel like sometimes narcissists are kind of like birds of a flock where they recognize the other ones and they somehow empathize with them. So it does make me wonder, I'd love to know more about those jurors and ask them questions about how they got to their conclusion and just kind of get their demeanor as well. Because my guess is maybe they felt some sort of, you know, kindred spirit here with Robert Tellis.
You know, I don't, we obviously don't know.
Yeah.
You know, one thing that is interesting that comes up is very few defendants testify.
Mm-hmm.
Very few take the stand in their own defense. And I don't know what the percentages are. I think when I get off with you, Tony, I'm going to get those. So I have them for you next time. But, you know, here he got up and no matter how nutty he may have seemed, no matter what kind of a raging narcissist or sociopath he seemed like, it made him human. Right. He's not just the person sitting at the table.
Mm-hmm.
He is somewhat human. So you just don't know if maybe some jurors took that and had some empathy that way.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they still found him guilty.
Sure.
You don't know if maybe they, you know, that went into thinking about, you know, every little thing and they took it more seriously. You never know. Often when somebody takes the stand, the jury does seem to impute some sort of true benefit of the doubt because they're getting up there
mm-hmm.
and because so few do. And of course the standard is reasonable doubt. And of course the prosecutor did, you know, got everything
yeah.
out of him, but still makes him more human. You
That's
know, he's
true.
Not just the guy sitting at the table. He's now a person who they have kind of had a conversation with.
Yeah.
And that makes it a little harder to sit in judgment.
That's true. I think at the end of the day, his decision to wear the wig is what got him the lesser sentence. So in the end of the day, his crazy
yeah.
outfit actually saved him from life without parole.
Right. And who knows, you know, in 20 years, mm-hmm. you know, when we talk about this kind of stuff, and we say 20 years and throw that around, it doesn't sound like long enough,
mm-hmm.
still a really long time.
True.
And also, you know, as long as kind of the family keeps showing up and the prosecutor and law enforcement keep taking this very, very seriously throughout the next 10, 15, 20 years,
mm-hmm.
you know, he may not be eligible for anything. And with a guy like this, mm-hmm. with what he showed in his testimony and with this crime itself, I find it hard to imagine he's not going to get in any more trouble once he's in.
How do you think he's going to fare in prison? Obviously, he was an attorney. You know, that sometimes can be an advantage. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, with a guy like this, though, just, I mean, take attorney out of it, just his personality in general. How do you think someone like this is going to fare behind bars?
You know, he could get in more trouble, right? Mm-hmm. And try to try to hatch some more schemes if people come up with things that they, you know, he doesn't like, mm-hmm. just like he did here. Maybe not that extreme, but also, you know, being an attorney, other inmates may mm-hmm. turn to him for advice, mm-hmm. and this could kind of feed him and yeah. his personality and his narcissism. So, you know, he may really think it's kind of a great world for him to be in. May work out that way for him.
Yeah. Yeah. Who knows? What an interesting case.
Who knows? Though.
You're neck deep in a dark, twisted tale. And just as the tension peaks, bam, a commercial about some miracle diet pill breaks the spell. It's like finding a fly in your soup after the first bite. But here's the fix. True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts. You get to enjoy your crime stories without the junk. Ad-free episodes, extended interviews that go beyond the surface, and early access to all the gruesome details. It's like swapping out a can of cheap beer for a glass of fine whiskey. So search for True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts. Subscribe and keep the darkness flowing uninterrupted.